Politico.com reported earlier this year that Democrats have defeated so many vulnerable Republicans over the past 4 years that there are few obvious targets left for them in 2010. In some cases, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee is hoping some longtime incumbents might retire, such as the case in Florida's 10th Congressional District. That's the Pinellas County seat that's been owned by C.W. Bill Young for nearly four decades. Despite predictions over the past decade, Young continues to run and win. But nationally, Democrats think they might be able to take the seat next year, and one reason is the strength of the challenger, Democrat State Senator Charlie Justice. WMNF spoke with Justice this past Saturday night at the Pinellas County Democratic Party's King Kennedy Dinner. We asked him about the level of excitement outside of Florida the Democrats might be able to take the seat next year.
Oh, they're very interested. They know that people around the country and around our community, they voted for change in 2008, and now we're looking for a way to make progress in 2010. They recognize that this is a very winnable district for a Democrat. Its registration is almost dead even between Democrat and Republican, and about 25% no party. So this is a great, great opportunity for us.
You know, I've heard that before, though, in this district. I know you're probably a stronger candidate than running against C.W. Bill Young in a long time. But, you know, the man's he's 40 years at this district. I mean, is it going to take, obviously, resources, money? What's else? As you mentioned, the district seems like it has changed over the years. But what will make it different this year? Is this you? I mean, yourself and your message?
Let's be clear. I'm not running against anyone yet. We don't know who's going to be running in this office. I'm running for Congress because I'm determined to make a difference for my community. I think that we get out there, we raise the resources, we talk to people, we share what we want to do for America and for our community, and I feel very comfortable letting the voters decide.
Let me ask you about a victory you had, I guess, this week. Governor Crist signed the legislation that prevents local municipalities from actively campaigning on issues and using taxpayer monies on this issue. But let me bring up a criticism of that kind of law. And some people said that will prevent local government, say an example of the SB 360, the very controversial law by Senator Bennett and the like. Most counties didn't do much more than contest it, write letters to the governor. But if they wanted to, say, because they knew it was bad for their community, wouldn't your law prevent them from doing that now?
It would not have prevented them from educating the public. Those that criticize the bill, I would encourage to go back and actually read the bill. It simply limits their expenditures on electioneering communication, which is very specifically defined in statute. And they cannot advocate for the passage or defeat of a referendum. So they are still able to go out and rally the troops. They're still able to issue proclamations. They're still able to issue a resolution. They're still able to spend money to educate the voters as long as it's in a factual way. They can't say vote yes on Amendment 1, vote no on Amendment 2, but they can explain what Amendment 1 or Amendment 2 does. So I feel very comfortable with it, and I'm glad the governor signed it.
What about the governor signing SB 360? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think, you know, this is from St. Petersburg. We had Peter Wallace, Speaker of the House, great speaker. And when he was in the House back in 1985, he was one of the leaders on growth management. And it's disappointing because this kind of takes us back a couple decades. And We had great legislation in Florida, the DRI, Development of Regional Impact, especially in an area like Tampa Bay. DRI legislation is critically important, and I feel that 360 really takes us in the wrong direction on that.
Property insurance and property taxes here. Obviously, things are different with the economy and the like, so property taxes aren't that huge of an issue. But what about insurance here? We're going into another summer of possibly hurricanes. There was a bill that passed this year that allowed citizens to go up 10%, I believe it was. Did you support that bill?
I voted against it because I didn't feel that it was the right time for that. And the thing is, anecdotally, we've heard constituents say, you know, we've got offers from other insurance agencies that are lower than Citizens. So I don't know that there's an automatic need that we needed a 10% increase in Citizens. But again, we are running the worst possible business model for insurance. We're letting the private carriers come in here, pick the houses they want to provide coverage for. Citizens has to take the rest. You've got to go one way or the other. You got to go freeload all the way into the private market, let them charge us whatever they want, which we saw what kind of happens with that. Or you've got to bring the government more involved at a base level to provide a safety net. And I think we should have done that. And I think that we need to keep pushing people in Washington to create a national catastrophe fund, which will allow the insurance companies in the states to buy reinsurance for those things. Otherwise, what happens is tragedy strikes, companies go bankrupt, states go into debt, and the federal government has to bail them out anyway. So if we prepare for it, we won't need that federal bailout next time. We won't have a Katrina kind of bailout in Florida if we do the right steps now.